Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon.
Happy Friday, Edwin.
Happy Friday, Andrew.
Hope that you are making plans for the weekend.
I am. I'm planning on being with my brothers and sisters.
Well, I'm planning on it too. Actually, this weekend I know is going to be Easter weekend. Actually,
yeah,
the map.
Yep.
And we're going to be talking about the world's greatest miracle here at Livingston. If you're
okay.
in the Tampa area, we hope you can come out and worship with us this Sunday morning.
Yeah, a lot of people are interested in spiritual things and thinking about that right now. We'd love for you to come, and we'll be able to talk about some things. Hope we can help you put your faith in Jesus Christ, which is what John's writings have all been about.
The other thing I want to mention real quick, April 14th.
Yeah,
April
coming up in a couple weeks.
In a couple of weeks. We are inviting all of our friends and people from the community. It'd be a great day to come out because you've got a lesson you're going to be sharing looking at the promise of the abundant life.
Yeah, the promise of the abundant life. Looking forward to being able to, and this is important because, boy, in Revelation, it sure looks like maybe the abundant life wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this will be good for us to talk about. Let's go ahead and read Revelation 1 again one last time this week. We're supposed to be reading these chapters every day. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Yeah, I just can't get over the echo between John seeing the Son of Man there and the transfiguration.
Yeah.
You know, putting the right hand on him and saying, "Do arise, do not be afraid." That's exactly what's recorded in Matthew chapter 17.
Yeah.
You know, and he shines so brightly and so forth.
So you
said, I think it underscores what we talked about earlier, just another evidence, John being the same John, the Apostle
yeah.
John.
Yeah. So you're saying the Mount of Transfiguration was an apocalypse?
It would be an apocalypse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's an unveiling, it's revealing. Mm-hmm. Here is the glory. We've got the garments that are white,
mm-hmm.
like no launderer could get them. We've got the
right.
bright light, like the face shining like the sun.
And you were seeing it again, and it makes me wonder about, you know, we were talking a little bit about the was it Lydia McGrew book?
Yeah, Hidden in Plain View.
Hidden in Plain View. If this is another one of those intended,
undesigned coincidences.
Undesigned mm-hmm. coincidences. I always say unintended consequences.
That's something
that's
else.
More, that's yeah, something that's else. More about that's my decisions and less about the Bible. So,
well, here's John writing both of them. I'm not sure if Lydia would place, if Ms. McGrew would place it in.
Well, I was quoting Matthew, though.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. The connection back and forth.
Yeah, because the Transfiguration's in the Synoptics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here we've got this picture of Jesus. And his great and amazing glory. Yeah. And we see that here in Revelation as well.
Well, listen, I know we've been reading Revelation and our conversations are intended to try to set the stage for a good reading and good conversations moving forward.
Yeah.
So maybe we ought to just kind of tick off a couple of review things here.
Well, yeah. So on Monday, what we pointed out is that Apocalypse is actually a revelation. Mm-hmm. It is a revealing. It's not a hiding. It's not a covering up. I'm not sure that we actually even said this specifically on Monday, but some folks have the idea that this book was written to like hide and be secret. It's like a secret code, and so that the non-Christians won't know what it's about and won't persecute us.
But when you realize that actually this was a known genre of literature, particularly among Jews, of course, I mean, that's not to say that the Romans would crack the code, I guess, but it's not written to be...
It's not written. It's not it written is to called be a revealing.
Yeah.
It is an apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's not trying
it's not
to hide
hiding.
Something. And again, okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this. We've got stuff to talk about today. But again, this notion that it was hidden until the 1900s newspapers started giving us insight.
Yeah.
No. God was revealing what was going on right then, not hiding it for 2,000 years.
Second thing we talked about this week was how this revelation is a continuation of John's writings about Jesus' victory over the world, light over darkness. We spent some time making the case and the connections. John the Apostle is the author of Revelation, as well as the other books we've been reading this season.
Yeah, so we want to read it as from him. The third thing on Wednesday was just the fact that we've got to read this from the perspective of the original audience. The time was near for them. We've got to look at what was going on with them first.
Yesterday, we talked about how Revelation is not a sign of modern times to learn when a special period of tribulation will come and Jesus will finally establish an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. That's not what is going on here. But we need to see that this book of Revelation is a description of the victory of God going to bring the kingdom he had already established over tribulation they were facing.
Yeah.
And we would particularly underscore that even the writer John was a joint participant in the tribulation, in the kingdom had come.
The kingdom was there and it was embattled. Mm-hmm. It was embroiled in a battle, and what God was showing them was the victory he was going to bring them in that battle. Mm-hmm. Again, taking that 2 Kings 6 picture of Elisha and his servant as an apocalyptic illustration. It's what he needed right then, not what 2,000 years later, as if that was going to provide comfort. So now I want to get to a very specific thing. So, I learned this from Mark Roberts. I think I knew it. I hadn't said it like this, but I recently reread his book, Understanding Apocalyptic Literature. It's a great book.
That is
I
a
highly
great
recommend
book.
It. And it's, yes. And it's a short little book. It's mm-hmm. not, it doesn't take, I mean, an hour to an hour and a half to read. It's very, very helpful. I appreciated this point. So thanks to Mark Roberts for that. So I love the point, though, that's made. Here we look in the book of Revelation, and it's images.
Mm-hmm.
It's visions. It's not just teaching. It's not just saying, here's what Jesus said. Here's what it means. Go act like this. It's visions. And so for us, probably the way we could most think about this in a modern time, it would be as if God sent a movie to John,
okay.
And what John has to do is now write that movie down. We don't all get to watch the movie, but we get to watch John write down, or we get to read John's description of the scenes and the story of the movie that's going on.
Yeah, I've heard it explained as the idea of a mural.
Okay.
If you're in an art museum and you've got a mural and maybe this thing spreads out across a huge wall.
Yeah.
I mean, on what you can try to stand at the way back of the room and take it all in. Mm-hmm. But what really happens is you're kind of walking along and studying it inside of getting the different aspects of this amazing vision.
Yeah. And so now here's the thing. In a mural, in a movie, as we're seeing a vision, there's details.
Mm-hmm.
Even right now, just as I'm looking out the window or looking at you, there's details that if somebody said, write down what you see right now, I'd write down a whole bunch of stuff. some of the stuff is significant. Some of it is just stage dressing. Mm-hmm. Some of it is just, yeah, it's a studio, so we have sound dampening rugs up on the walls.
Right.
Do they signify something? No, they just, that's what you have mm-hmm. when you have a studio. I look out and I see green trees. Is there some significance to the fact that they're green? I mean, okay, maybe we'd say, yeah, it means they're alive. But it's not like, oh, but the color green, see, verdant. That's like veracity. Maybe that means true. Oh, it means those trees are really true. We're not going through all that. That fills the picture. But there are some things that are significant, mm-hmm. and a lot of this is confusing, and here's the point. What our author does is when there are significant things, it's like, yeah, you need to know this one. He actually tells us, and we actually see this happen right here in the first chapter, so I wanted to set the stage for us on
this.
That's good.
That's helpful.
So here's this image. He sees this vision of this person. And they're walking among this person is walking among lampstands. Mm-hmm. He's got voice like the sound of trumpets.
Right.
Hair like white wool that's white like snow. He's got a long robe and a golden sash. His feet are like burnished bronze, refined in the fire, or polished bronze. In his right hand, he holds seven stars. From his mouth comes a two-edged sword. His face is shining like the sun in full strength. Man, that's a lot of stuff. And what a lot of people do is they get, this picture, we got to figure out all this, what all this means. You know, I mean, he's got two feet. You know what's on your feet? Your feet have toes.
Yeah.
He's got 10 toes.
10 toes.
We need to figure out what those toes represent.
Yeah.
You know, plus two eyes. 10 toes and two eyes. I bet that's the 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe
mm-hmm.
it's the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, trying to go through and figure out as if there is a one-to-one correspondence to every single thing in the picture to some symbol that we have to figure out. We don't need to do that. Some of this is just, here's the picture.
Yeah.
Wanting you to see how glorious Jesus is. Were you wanting to add something to this?
Well, and if you wondered who this was, he speaks and identifies himself.
Yeah, he does.
I am the first and the last, you know? And he said, one like the Son of Man. There's a couple of indicators already. This is Jesus.
Yeah. So, and that's an interesting thing. This does, it does point out.
But it doesn't look like Jesus that we read in the Gospel of John.
No, but when he describes himself, even though he doesn't say, hey, John, it's okay, I'm Jesus. When he describes himself as the one who was dead and is now, who was alive and is dead and is now alive forevermore,
right.
All of a sudden we're like, oh, I know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
I know who that is in John's writings. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus. He gives an explanation. I want you to notice this. See what happens, though, when this one starts talking to him. I'm looking at this picture. I'm like, oh, long robe, golden sash, white hair. I wonder what all this means. Oh, there's a lampstand, and there's seven lampstands, and there's seven stars. Man, I wonder what all this means. Notice verse 20. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So here's a part of this mystery that we really need to know what it is, and what does he do? He tells us.
Well, there's an apocalypse. He reveals it, right?
And yeah, here's a revealing.
Because that word mystery is not like a Sherlock Holmes whodunit. It's this idea of hidden truth, and so it needs to be made known.
But what you need to see is that Jesus, the first and the last, the one who is alive and died and is alive forevermore, who has the sword coming out of his mouth and the burning eyes— he's actually walking among the churches.
Mm-hmm.
So here's this apocalypse says, look, I want you to see what's really going on. You're not alone. Jesus is right there. He's walking among the lampstands. He has angels for the churches. And now I get it. Now we may still wonder, well, what does that mean? Are there like heavenly beings, or is that just using the word messenger? I'm not saying there's nothing we have to study and questions we need to ask. And I'm also certainly not saying don't consider anything else in the picture. I mean, the two-edged sword. Okay, that may refer to Hebrews 4:12 and the Word of God, which is a two-edged sword. Then again, it may just be part of the picture so that later in the book, when we hear about this guy with a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, we're like, oh, I know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
I've already met him.
Met him earlier in the book.
I've already met him. It may just be talking about what a great warrior he is.
Or a little bit of both.
Yeah. His face shining like the sun. What does that represent? Well, I mean, maybe that's just like what Paul says about God, that he dwells in unapproachable light.
Or that call back to Transfiguration.
Or the call, yeah.
Things there.
Yeah, you know? And it's good to make those connections. I'm not saying ignore all of that, but I think what we do need to know is we don't have to miss the forest for the trees.
Right.
We don't need to miss the flower by flipping over all the petals. We don't have to know what toes represent and do the two eyes represent. Oh, and it's a face, so that means he has a nose and nostrils. I wonder what that represents.
Mm-hmm.
Adding in all that stuff and every color means something. Oh, it's the rainbow. That's a lot of colors. Here's what that means.
Right.
We don't have to get in all that. When the part of the mysteries has to be explained, he actually tells us.
Yeah.
And sure, we got to keep studying it to understand, but he tells us.
Yeah.
And so let's read this book recognizing that. He's going to explain the important stuff to us.
We're so excited to be talking about the book of Revelation. We know you're going to want to catch every episode, rate it, review it, and share it with friends, and we love it when you do that. Let's have a word of prayer. Our great God and Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, and thank you for this week that we've had to read Revelation 1 to discuss it. We're encouraged at the end of the week to read closely, to appreciate that we are looking at apocalyptic literature, and signs, and symbols, but Father, you want to make your truth known through them. Help us to have ears open to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at christiansmeethere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.